mana
the mind
eva
certainly
manushyasya
of a man
purva
past
rupani
forms
samsati
indicates
bhavishyataha
of
one who will take birth
cha
also
badham
good fortune
te
onto you
tata
thus
eva
certainly
na
not bhavishyataha
of
one who will take birth. Translation by Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O King, all good fortune unto you. Go to the feet.
O King, all good fortune unto you.
The mind is the cause of the living entities.
And the mind is the cause of the living entities.
Attaining a certain type of body. In accordance with.
Its
association with material nature.
According to one's
mental composition,
one
can understand that one can understand what the living entity was
in his past life,
as well as what kind of body
he'll
have in the future.
Thus
the mind indicates the past and future bodies. Purport by Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The mind is the index of information about one's past and future lives. If a man is a devotee of the Lord, he cultivated devotional service in his previous life. Similarly, if one's mind is criminal, he was criminal in his last life. In the same way, according to the mind, we can understand what will happen in a future life. In Bhagavad Gita 14.18, it is said, Udvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasa janenya punavipratistha ado gacchanti tamasaha. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. If a person is in the mode of goodness, his mental activities will promote him to a higher planetary system. Similarly, if he has a low mentality, his future life will be most abominable. The lives of the living entity in both the past and the future are indicated by the mental condition. Narada Muni, he is here offering the kind blessings of all good fortune so that the king will not desire anything or make plans for sense gratification. The king was engaged in fructive ritualistic ceremonies because he hoped to get a better life in the future. Narada Muni desired him to give up all mental concoctions. As explained before, all bodies in heavenly planets and hellish planets arise from mental concoctions, and the sufferings and enjoyments of material life are simply on the mental platform. They take place on the chariot of the mind, Manoratha. It is therefore said, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarve gune tatra samasate sura harau abhaktasya kuto mahaguna manorathena sati davato bahihi. One who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods, but one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. Unless one becomes a devotee of the Lord or becomes fully Krishna conscious, he will certainly hover on the mental platform and be promoted and degraded in different types of bodies. All qualities bodies that are considered good according to material estimation actually have no value, because these so-called good qualities will not save a person from the cycle of birth and death. The conclusion is that one should be without mental desire. Anya vilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavrutam. One should be fully free from material desires, philosophical speculation and fruitive activity. The best course for a human being is to favorably accept the transcendental devotions to the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Svahadantakam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sakanara Gunatam Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Patam Sakanara Lita Sri Vishakam Vitascha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Angam Vandayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Angam Langayate Sailam Mukam Avartaye Sutim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Krishna Chaitanya Mishwaram Sri Chaitanya Padam Bhoja Madhupebhyo Namo Namaha Tatanchit Asraya Desham Swapitar Dhandapha Bhavet He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Tata Radha Tata Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarobhischa Krupa Sindhu Vyaye Vacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Translation O King, all good fortune unto you. The mind is the cause of the living entities attaining a certain type of body in accordance with its association with material nature. According to one's mental composition, one can understand what the living entity was in his past life, as well as what kind of body he will have in the future. Thus, the mind indicates the past and future bodies. So Narada Muni is saying, oh good fortune unto you. What does that mean? And this was opening statement of saying, oh king, all good fortune unto you. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that this means, understand this what I am trying to tell you. Please understand what I am. It's a blessing out of Narada's mercy. So the mind of a man indicates his past forms and his future forms. Interestingly, Shankaracharya also says and also indicates whether he will take another birth at all. So it's not just the past forms, the future form, but also he goes beyond that, saying that whether the person takes a birth itself or not is also indicated by the current state of mind. How is that he's able to make such a statement? He says that the same mind which always remains subtle body does this. That means that the mind is not produced again and again with each body. So it's that the same mind we are carrying from one body to the other body, or the same subtle body we are carrying from one body to the other body, no matter which body we are. Now there was an interesting experiment conducted in Stanford University. It's called the marshmallow experiment. Has anyone heard this experiment? Yes, Mataji? Okay. So the marshmallow experiment was led by a psychologist called Walter Mischel, a professor at Stanford University. In his study, he offers children a choice between one small immediate reward or two small rewards if they wait for some time. So you are given a reward immediately, it's only one piece, but if you want, if you can wait for some time, then you are given double that. So what is that thing he gives? He gives a marshmallow. Marshmallow must be kind of sweet, which is tasty and liked by children. So the children are placed in different rooms, and each child is given that marshmallow, and the child is given about 15 minutes time. So for that 15 minutes time, the child has to withhold back his temptation to take that marshmallow. And so there are children who would try to resist for a couple of minutes, but then they give it up, and then they take that. Very few children out of the lot, they postpone for that benefit. So they get the second marshmallow. So based on this research, it was said that, and they looked at those children after 30 years of their life, how they evolved themselves. And it was found that those children who waited for the second marshmallow had better outcome in their life, in terms of academic education, in terms of other life measures. So it means that someone who is willing to tolerate the present condition for a better future has a better future. So if we are willing to tolerate the present desires or the present material moorings, then for a better future or an infinite future, so we belong to a particular class of personalities, you can take from this experiment. So one of the activities we find that when children are born, especially come to a couple of months, I think recently my granddaughter was given that small experiment by Gangesham Prabhu. He kept the Bhagavad Gita book and Lakshmi there. So he's trying to find out the child, where the child would move forward to take it. Well, to Abhishek's happiness, the baby took the Bhagavad Gita book, not a dollar. So it's, one can't say it's definite about this particular experiment, but this is what the parents do. And basically, the pujaris facilitate this sort of a small experiment to give the happiness. So if the parents come from a business class, possibly if the child takes Bhagavad Gita, the parent may be unhappy. But if the parents come from a devotional family and the child takes Bhagavad Gita, then the parents become happy. So this is called the conditioned existence or the chained existence. So if you look at Vivek Prabhupada has given the purport, it would be divided into three major areas. So one is the conditioned existence. How do we become conditioned in the material life? So the journey of conditioning starts when we come in contact with the material nature, and that's what we find in Bhagavad Gita 13.22. Pusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jambunam karanam guna sangasya sat asat yo nijam ashru The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. So the living entity thinks that he is enjoying his life, but at every step or every stage when he thinks that he is enjoying, he is becoming deeper and deeper involved or getting trapped. It's like as a child, I have seen a plant called a pitcher plant. I think you would have seen the pitcher plant. The insect tries to sit on the plant and then suck the fruit for the enjoyment. And then you find actually the plant has the leaf developed in such a way, it's called a pitfall trap. So the moment the insect lands on the leaf in search of enjoyment, then the leaf starts falling and traps the fly and eventually swallows it. So our contact with the material nature is somewhat similar to that, that we try to enjoy and therefore we become trapped. And this cycle, Vedically it is said that whatever thoughts I have in my current state of mind, it is called vritti, the superficial thoughts. And this vritti facilitates or makes me look at these sense objects. And as I'm looking at the sense objects, I develop a samskara because I create an impression in my consciousness. And that impression becomes deeper when I act on it. For example, I look at an ice cream. And when I look at an ice cream, that the thought is there, I want to enjoy ice cream. And when I take that ice cream, scoop ice cream and then enjoy, then it creates a samskara in my consciousness because I have enjoyed that item. And when this samskara becomes a repeated action, then it creates a tendency in me, and that tendency is called vasana. So vritti leads to samskara, and that samskara leaves an impression, deeper impression in subconsciousness, and that's called vasana. And this vasana is stored in chitta, and that facilitates my psychophysical body for next life. So that gives me a particular capacity and a capability. And since I'm trying to act with that consciousness, my destiny is predefined. Because I've been given a particular psyche based on my previous samskara or previous consciousness, and accordingly I act in this life, and therefore my destiny is predefined. And because I am working with my current intelligence, which is derived from the past, that is the psychophysical body, it is difficult for me to understand that I am getting what I am destined to. My behavior itself is based on the nature I have acquired, that the psyche I have acquired from the previous life, and then combination of the nurturing I do and the nature, nurture and the cultivation, I combine these three to give me my current behavior. And in that, out of the nature, nurture and culturing, nature plays a predominant role because this is coming from my previous life. I am born with that particular combination of modes. So Prabhupada says, if a man is a devotee of the Lord, he cultivated devotional service in his previous life. And this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita as per 6.42, that if an unsuccessful, or 6.42 says that he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. 6.43, on taking such a birth, he revived the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete senses, O son of Guru. So if a person is a devotee in this life, it means that the samskara he is carrying from his previous life, the impression he is carrying from his previous life. We have the classical example of His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami's disciple in London temple. I think all of you must be knowing that example, that in reincarnation of Sri Raghavdas Brahmachari. Raghavdas Brahmachari, that was his previous life, he leaves his body, and then in this life, he comes as Ratnavali Dasi. What makes you smile?
I know the past time.
You met her?
No, I just see the past time.
Okay. Yeah, so therefore we find that she was carrying the impressions from his previous life. And Prabhupada says, or the verse says, that you carry from your previous life. Then we have the other example which His Holiness Indradyumna Swami Maharaj writes in his diary. He goes to a Bhrigu Samhita astrologer. Everyone has heard this, read this particular pastime? Not pastime, it's the diary he writes. So he finds that when he goes there, he was told that he was a king with two wives in his previous couple of lives. Behind. I think some 1,000 years back, he was a king, famous, well-known king in Karnataka. And from there, he moves on to his previous life. He had a desire to renounce the whole world and take to Krishna consciousness. And in this life, he is a Krishna consciousness exalted devotee in his parampara. So what it means is that it is known, and the way that Bhrigu astrologer tells his sequence of events, he was surprised at the precision with which the details are being given, narrated to him, and each time he looks at his disciple Prahlad Prabhu, and then, wow, how is that Guru astrologer is able to say to such a minute extent the details, including when they reach the spot, the astrologer himself is out and he says, I'm waiting for you. So it's as if he knows that he is coming, so he said, I'm waiting for you, and he escorts him into the his chamber, and then pulls out the leaves and then starts narrating what he does. Then we have the in one of the class sessions, Bhanuswami Maharaj gives an example of a lady in US. I think she was about 35-40 years. That's how Bhanuswami Maharaj was narrating that story. She never moved out of her town, and she knew only English as a language and nothing else, no other language. But suddenly she started screaming. For no reason, one day she started screaming. And the family did not understand what was she screaming, because that the way she was talking in that loud noise, they couldn't understand her. So they take her to a doctor, and doctor he couldn't understand what was happening. Then he referred to a psychologist, and the psychologist he said that you better record the screen, and they record and take it to the psychologist. He says, I too can't understand what she was trying to speak. Let us refer this to a linguistic in a university. So they refer the cassette to the linguist in the university, and there he said that this is an Egyptian language she is speaking. Out of nowhere, that this person is speaking a foreign language, and what was she trying to say? That please open the door, I'm dying, I'm dying. So they look back from where is she that she's trying to say these, and when they went to the history, it was said that some 2,500 years back, in that one of the Egyptian caves, they found that some workers were working inside, and suddenly the cave gets closed, and that's the time when all the workers within the cave were shouting, open the door, we are dying, we are dying. So even after 1,000 years, Bhagavan was saying that the consciousness of the person has not changed. It continues to be what it was 2,500 years back. And that's the reason why we say that the last thing to change is the consciousness. It's not that easy. So even among the devotees, we find that the previous moonings keep surfacing in their behavior when they are specially subjected to difficult situations or unfavorable situations. Normally it's good to say Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. That is when the things are working favorably. But when the things are not working favorably, the person can use abusive language and the person can become physically assaultive as well. Because that's the underneath layer, it surfaces. And this we can see in the life of Karna as well. In his previous life, he was Sahasra Kavacha, or a person with 1,000 kavach. You can see. So, in this life, he carried the same demonic quality from his previous life, and therefore he exhibited that. Although he was born in one such a good family, royal family, he did not know about it, but his nature was being carried from his previous life, and that he exhibited throughout his life. So what it means is that whatever consciousness we were having over a period of time, the same thing is being carried and again through not only in this life but through the lifetimes. I met one gentleman about 20-25 years back before coming to Melbourne in Bangalore. He is a hypnotist. He has the ability to perform regression. And he was narrating many of his cases, and one case I still remember. He said that a family brought the head of the family, or the man, who would inflict injury on himself. If there's a razor, he'll take the razor and start cutting, chipping his body by himself. Or if there's a knife, he would take the knife and start cutting himself. So they would keep all the sharp instruments away from him. Always required to be alert in the family. And they did not know what to do. Every time they take to a doctor, the doctor gives only some sleeping pills, and there was no treatment available. And it was a trauma for the family, for a man who was working, who was going to office, and suddenly he developed this attitude of inflicting injury to himself. So that person was brought to this friend who was good in performing the regression. He takes him in his backward journey, and as he moves, he starts narrating what the major incidences which had happened in his life, and then he stops about some 10 years before on a particular incident. And what was that incident? In the morning he was trying to start his scooter, and going to office, and at the time when his neighbor comes and says, "Can you please help me? My father requires help. He is sick. He needs to be taken to the hospital, otherwise he will die." But this gentleman said, "No, I have got an office meeting. I need to go." And then he goes to office. When he returns back, he finds that his neighbor's father has died. And he became terrified. That left a deep impression in his consciousness, and he was feeling guilty. He said, "It's because of me that my friend's father has died." And he could not tolerate that. And as a consequence, what was he doing? He said, "Just as my friend is suffering, I should also suffer in my life, and therefore any instrument he takes, he pulls at himself. He tries to injure himself." And so this person, and when he stopped at that period, then he gives him instruction to his patient or that person. So that instruction, I believe, can be given in that state, and it enters into subconsciousness. So when it enters into subconsciousness, and when it comes back to the normal consciousness, that incident is erased from the person, or it smoothens out, and therefore he tries to come back to his normal state. And he said after that, the person stopped injuring himself. So in this lifetime itself, we find that whatever impressions we have created, we experience now. This is my own experience. Whatever silly things or nonsensical things I have done before coming to Krishna consciousness, they are still surface in my consciousness, and they keep troubling me. Unless I take shelter of the holy name, shelter of scripture, shelter of Guru Maharaj, they keep surfacing, and I need to regulate, I need to control them through the higher knowledge. Otherwise, it acts as a barrier for me to move forward. Then in the same way, Prabhupada said that according to the mind, we can understand what will happen in a future life. In Bhagavad Gita 14.18, it is said, "Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasa jalanyam punavrittistha adho gacchanti tamasaha." Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. So by nature, we are in mode of passion. Because madhye tishtanti rajasaha. So we are on the earthly planetary system. So our predominant nature is to be in a mode of passion. And this we need to understand. That's my primary nature, and on that I may place my other layers. But my predominant nature is mode of passion. And I need to move from mode of passion to mode of goodness. We can conduct a small experiment on our own self. Observe our own thoughts from morning till evening. And classify those thoughts into three different baskets. This is a simple experiment we can conduct on ourselves. We don't have to talk to anyone. Observe our own thoughts. According to psychologists, they say that a man generates anywhere from 5,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. A huge number of thoughts. Take every thought as it comes out. Put it into respective baskets. The basket of the past, basket of the present, and the basket of the future. And it has been observed that most of the thoughts go either into the basket of future or into the basket of the past. Very few thoughts are in the basket of the present. So the basket of the present deals with the mode of goodness. And the basket of the past, it talks about the mode of ignorance. And the basket of the future is the representation of mode of passion. And we find that most of the thoughts are in the future basket or in the past basket and not in the present basket. So if a person is in the mode of goodness, his mental activities will promote him to higher planetary system. Similarly, if he has a low mentality, his future life will be most abominable. The lives of a living entity in both the past and the future are indicated by the mental condition. Narada Muni is herein offering the king blessings of all good fortune so that the king will not desire anything or make plans for sense gratification. The king was engaged in fruitive ritualistic ceremonies because he hoped to get a better life in the future. And this is what we are given to understand right from our childhood. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. You perform some pious activities, Dharma, then you derive some money, Artha, and with that money you satisfy your requirements. I still remember 35 years back I was accumulating along with my wife at the time of marriage, and this is all what the Pujari said to me, that you are a man and a woman or a wife and husband, what is that you are required to do? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. This is what he said. He did not tell us anything beyond that. And of course, at that moment, your consciousness is entirely different. So even that dharma artha also doesn't go into our head. So the king was engaged in fruitive activistic ceremonies because he hoped to get a better life in the future. Narada Muni deciding to give up all mental concoctions, give up all mental desires. As explained before, all bodies in heavenly planets and hellish planets arise only from mental concoction. Because this has nothing to do with the spirit soul. Spirit soul is totally different from the subtle body and the gross body. Whatever we are experiencing, it's not truly by the soul, but it's in the mind. For example, our material life is a creation in mind. I want to become a doctor. Because I am born in the family of homeopathy doctors, therefore there was a natural inclination for me to become a homeopathy doctor, and then I became a homeopathy doctor. Someone wants to be a lawyer because he is grown in the family of lawyers, and then if he has the capability, he will try to become a lawyer. But becoming a lawyer or becoming a homeopathy doctor or any other title has nothing to do with the spirit soul. Whatever happiness we derive from that, it's only on the mental plane. And the sufferings and enjoying the material life are simply on the material platform. The soul does not suffer. Any suffering and happiness is only in the mind. There's a famous saying in ISKCON, it's like Akash Pushp. I think anyone has heard this term? Akash Pushp. That in the sky, there is a flower. So it's all the mental concoction. It's a creation in our own mind. Because there's nothing like flower in the sky. So they take place in the chariot of the mind. It is therefore said, one who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the clearing material energy. So one who has unflinching devotion, Yasyasya Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchina, that's the verse Prabhupada is quoting here, has all the good qualities of the demigods. How do we understand this? Because in our day-to-day dealings, we find that somebody whom we think is not a devotee exhibits better qualities than someone who is a devotee. This is an experience of most of us. Then how do we justify this statement of Prabhupada the verse is Shastra Bhakti, but only someone who has a faith in the Lord has all the good qualities and not the others. Any suggestion? How do we understand this point? Yes, Prabhu.
Because all the good qualities of the non-devotees, they're based on mental concoction and it's very temporary. So maybe now they manifest good qualities because they're situated, affected by more of goodness, but they won't be able to maintain it for long time.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. The devotee may not have good qualities now, but he's on, if you try to draw the graph on XY axis, you find that the person's graph, the quality is increasing. Because he has unflinching faith in the Lord, his graph is an ascending graph with the time. If you take the quality on the y-axis, time on the x-axis, then you find when you try to draw the graph, it is a continuous increase ascending. And that ascendance could be in this lifetime, exhibited completely, or it could move on several lifetimes, but it's continuously increasing in its quality. Whereas for a non-devotee, the quality is as Prabhu said, it is there higher at the moment, but it's on a descending line, on a descending curve. So at a certain point, you find there's an intersection between the ascendance and the descendant, but over a period of time, you find that person is on a descending slope, where the devotee is on an ascending slope. Actually speaking, everyone is a devotee, as Prabhupada says many times. Someone is an uncovered devotee and other is a covered devotee. But otherwise, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that everyone is a devotee. And therefore, everyone should be treated as a devotee and accordingly given the... should be given the required respect. And that protects us. It's in our own interest that we deal everyone as a devotee, and but looking at their covered nature, accordingly we give the instruction. So the living and in the conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard six senses, which includes the mind. All living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore when they revive their original Krishna consciousness, they possess all the good qualities of Krishna in a small quantity. So someone who is having good quality is only because of unflinching faith, and this is Mamayavamsho Jiva Lokya Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, Krishna quotes in Gita. So unless one becomes a devotee of the Lord or becomes fully Krishna conscious, he will certainly hover on the mental platform and be promoted and degraded in different types of bodies. All qualities that are considered good according to the material estimation actually have no value, because the so-called good qualities will not save a person from the cycle of birth and death. The conclusion is that one should be without mental desire. One should be fully free from material desires, philosophical speculation and fruitive activity. The best course for a human being is to favorably accept the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. So therefore we find that the conditional existence is the thrust of this verse, and then Prabhupada gives the solution. We cannot change the nature so easily unless one takes to devotional service. So one's consciousness has to change from Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi to Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. So from the self-centered, it should move to Krishna-centered. And this change in consciousness is not easy. It's easier said than done. One has to make big sacrifice, like the child had to sacrifice his immediate requirement for a future benefit. So we need to perform that sacrifice. Every one of us have hurdles, huge blocks. And one must sacrifice to punch through that block or break that barrier, break that wall. One classical example we can see is in the life of Vidyamanda Thakur. He had that huge barrier block in his life that whenever he sees a Mataji, he finds is attracted. Attracted to the point of breaking the Vedic culture, not today, hundreds of years back. So he had to break that barrier. And how did he break that barrier? When he sought the Aradhan Mataji, who were hosting him for that night, he invited her. Finally, he took the hairdressing pins and he had to poke his eyes. That was a huge barrier for him. And he had to break that barrier. So unless we are able to break that barrier, we will not move forward in our Krishna consciousness, in our journey. And that's a sacrifice we need to pick. And this block, it could vary from person to person. Vidyamanda Thakur, fortunately, had only one barrier in life. But for others, there could be multiple barriers. And we need to break through those barriers. If we are sincere or if we are really interested in a bright future. And what is that bright future? To return back home, back to Godhead and serve the Lordship in one of the rasas. If that is our future we are looking at, then whatever obstacles we have in our journey, we need to keep them away or we need to push them away, we need to break them. If we do not do that, or till we do that, we keep coming back life after life, life after life. It could be hundreds of lifetimes, it could be thousands of lifetimes, it could be millions of lifetimes. We can see that we have been here. Lord Brahma is my younger brother. Although he is my younger brother, he is at least 155 trillion years old. And for the last 155 trillion years, I have been in this material world because I have not decided or I am not able to break the barrier. The huge blocks I have in my consciousness, I am not able to break. And till I break them, I will be in this material world only. So therefore, it's not easy to do that, as we have seen in the example of Vidyamanda Thakur. Then what impressions are needed to get out of this samskara? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam Bhavamaha Davani Nirvapanam. We need to do that, we need to do the cleansing. And Krishna says in 4.10, Vitaraga Bhat Krodha Manmayama Upasuta. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me. And thus they all attained transcendental love for me. So we need to overcome that attachment. Only when we are able to overcome that attachment, then we overcome the fear and the anger. 13th, Bhagavatam 3.15.25 also says, persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy and who breathe heavily and perspire due to hearing the glory of the Lord are promoted to the kingdom of God, even though they do not care for meditation and other auspices. The kingdom of God is above the material universes and it is desired by Brahma and other demigods. The persons whose bodily features change in ecstasy. I think last year we were attending Muralamba camp, the Sacred Heart Festival. This year, of course, we couldn't go. We missed it because of the current situation. And there, B.B. Swami was narrating his experience with the Babaji. That Babaji, that was when he was in Vrindavan, and Maharaj was saying that Babaji had invited him to chant along with him on Ekadasi. Fortunately, he is also Ekadasi. So he was invited to chant with him, and Maharaj felt very happy. Okay, now I have the association of an exalted devotee, and I could chant with him in the night. He said, we'll chant throughout the night. And Baba, so at that given time, the evening, Maharaj goes to his kutir, and Babaji just said, and then swoons into ecstasy. That's it. He didn't, after that, he didn't say anything. And Maharaj was thinking, when will he come out? When can I chant with him? But that never happened because he was in a bhava state, and just by hearing that Hare, he went into ecstasy, internal absorption completely. And 10 minutes gone, half an hour gone, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and Maharaj felt that he has to leave now because it's already morning, 3:30 or 4, and he had a service. And he did not know what to do, whether should I disturb Babaji, because without telling him, I can't go. But if I tell him, will I be disturbing him from his ecstasy? Finally, he said that, okay, let me disturb him. And he disturbs him. He said, what? Wow! He wakes up. And then he said that, okay, what is that? He said, Maharaj, I have to go for my service. Okay, you can go now. So that's all the association he had with Maharaj. So what it means is that someone who is on that stage, their bodily change in ecstasy, they are completely on a different platform. And fortunate are the souls who have such association of exalted personalities. But sometimes even that association, it brings about a change in the person after many years. I can give my own example. 1975, I think I heard Srila Prabhupada in the Hyderabad Pandal program. I was in the somewhere in the Pandal, and I've seen Srila Prabhupada. I've heard his lecture for more than an hour. That was 1975. But nothing happened in me, no change, because I'm such a dumb guy. Nothing happened to me. The change occurred. First time I chanted my 16 rounds was not in 1975. From 1975 to 1998. So after more than 22 years, I could come back to Krishna consciousness. So I should be receptive. I should be open to what I'm hearing and I'm willing to change. Someone says, I've heard you, sir. When I say I've heard you, it means that the transformation should take place in me. If the transformation is not taking place in me, that you have not heard me. Many a time I tell Abhishek, please get up now. You have, because he, when he talks, keeps talking, there's no end. He's talking. I said, now you please stop. He said, I've heard you, Daddy. But there's no change. He continues to talk. So then I tell you that you say you have heard me, but actually you have not heard me. If you have heard me, you will stop talking and then move on with your chanting or with other parts of your life. No. And he gives his time. Half an hour, 1 hour, the Dharma was intact, Abhishek, you will know that. When you talk to him, he keeps on continuously interacting. So someone has heard, it means that the transformation should take place. I've heard Srila Prabhupada, but no transformation. I was as it is. So after 1975, I've heard that lecture, but I continued with my life. It's only when I came to Melbourne here, unfortunately, once again I came to temple, I had interaction with the devotees, and then the old memories of hearing Srila Prabhupada resurfaced, and then I started taking to chanting. So I should say that the true hearing of Srila Prabhupada was after coming to Melbourne, not when I actually saw him, actually heard him in 1975. So how to develop the right kind of impressions to get out of the material world? 14.10, I'm not going to read this as it was. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance. O son of Bharata, sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and other times ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there is always competition for supremacy. So therefore, I should be determined to be in the mode of goodness. And that is a call for sacrifice. So he can be blessed by the mode of goodness. By transcending the mode of goodness, he can situate in pure goodness. It's called Vasudeva state. So unless I'm determined to follow the regulatory principles, I cannot be promoted to mode of goodness. It's an effort on my part. And it's not easy. For example, sannyasis are recommended to take 3 times bath. Whether it's winter or whatever is the season, whether you have to take 3 times bath. Brahmacharis, are you also asked to take 3 times bath? No. Good. Only once.
Once. Recommended.
Twice.
Sometimes
twice as well. So the taste for that comes from the association. So in the association of devotees, the 3.25.25 says, the stage in which the conscious of living entities are attracted by 3 modes of nature is called conditioned life. But when that same consciousness is attached to the Supreme Person of Godhead, one is situated in the consciousness of liberation. So therefore, summarizing the verse, we can say that the conditioned existence is a chained existence. It is not within one lifetime, but it moves across lifetimes. And that cannot change so easily unless one takes to devotional service. And to change that, we should have the right kind of impressions. And the right kind of impressions, you need to have the right kind of association. And the right kind of association creates the right kind of impressions, which would wipe away the old impressions which we are carrying from so many lifetimes, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Cheto Darpana Marjana. Yeah, at this stage I'll stop. Any question, any comment? Yes, Mataji.
Thank you for the class. Just a
curious question that we are at the moment going through the results of the karma which has been past lives or past lives. So in this lifetime, if we do new actions, then is it possible to suffer the reaction in this lifetime, or is it, will it be stored away for sacrifice in another lifetime?
It just depends. One can't say that if I do something wrong, I only suffer in the next lifetime. It's possible that one can suffer in this lifetime itself. It just depends on the arrangement by the higher authorities. If I commit a crime, there's a possibility I'm caught in this lifetime itself. It's not that I need to postpone till the next lifetime. I steal a dollar from somewhere. If I'm caught, I'm penalized immediately. Otherwise, it can go on. So we find that we by default we need to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and that's the only way we can wipe off the material consciousness. I've seen a small video recently where this is in Assam. The tiger had escaped from the forest, and it was the tiger entered the village, and she was eating the animals. She started eating the animals, and the villagers were scared. So they informed the forest officer, saying that there's a tiger here. Please capture it. No, capture her. So. The forest officer, the ranger who has the gun, they all they were riding on three elephants to capture the tiger. They see the tiger, and the ranger shoots the anesthetic bullet, but he misses the target. Assam is a big jungle, lot of huge grass at different big height, and therefore the tiger disappeared into the grass. And from nowhere, she surfaces and starts running towards the elephant. You can imagine, on the elephant, the three guys were there, the driver of the elephant, Mohan, and the ranger was there, and some other person was also there. And the tiger is, you are on the elephant, and the tiger is running towards you. And suddenly the tiger, coming to a high speed, jumps to a height of 12 feet and leaps onto the person who was Mohan, who was trying to control the elephant. And the tiger, it pierces through his abdomen and then his hand. They repeatedly they fire, and then she disappears. Later they find that she was, I think, dead, or she was anesthetic. And this person, Mohan, he was immediately taken to the hospital. His life was saved, but he lost his three fingers. But he said, I'm happy that I'm alive. So at that, what I'm trying to say is that leaping of the tiger at the Mohan can be considered as the death leaping at us. Just as the driver did not know, suddenly the tiger jumped at him from nowhere, because he started running and then it jumps onto him. Similarly, the death can attack us at any time. If my default consciousness is not God consciousness, is not Krishna consciousness, at that point of time, it is difficult for me to think of Krishna. Because in my normal good times, I'm not thinking of Krishna. At the difficult time, I'm panicked. I live in a state of fear, and my senses, they come to a still out of fear, and I do nothing. My mind becomes blank, and to whatever normal consciousness is, maybe those thoughts surface, and accordingly we get the next thought. Any other question? Yes.
I think you said you heard Prabhupada in 1975.
Yeah.
That was probably during April 10 to 15.
I was in my first year of engineering.
Yeah. Okay. So that answers your age also. Maybe around 17, 18.
Yeah. But it took so many years before, I won't say I'm so senior, but somewhat better than what I was in 1975. Grantharaj Bhagavatam Sumbhavatam Ki Jai Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai.